8. Britain felt a sinking sense of dread as Nickley carried her to the side of the ship. The sailors had bunched up here, attended by anxiety spren, like twisting black crosses, and a few globs of fear spren. They made way for Rissen, and Plamry, Nickley's Thalen assistant, hurried forward and set down a high stool for her. She gripped the rail to steady herself as Nickley placed her on the stool, then she nodded for him to retreat. That made room for the captain to step up and stand beside her. Sitting there, Rissen could peer over the side of the ship to see what the others had been whispering about. A dead Santhid. A decaying shell and husk flipped over on its side, its whited eyes staring toward the sky. It was enormous, nearly a third as long as the ship itself. The large marine creatures were incredibly rare. She had believed them extinct, but had enjoyed stories from her Babsk about them. They supposedly rescued drowning sailors, or trailed ships for days, improving the moods of those on board. More spren than animal, they were somehow able to magnify peace and confidence. Likely that was as much fancy as the passions, but no sailor she'd ever met would speak ill of Santhidin, and meeting one was among the best omens in the ocean. She didn't need to ask to know what finding a dead one would do to the mood of her crew. The sailors sensed this was coming, she thought. They've been on edge these last few days, waiting. Perhaps, like Rissen, they'd noticed the pattern and had expected a third worst omen. To them, this would be proof the trip was cursed. And, as she looked down at that large, unnatural corpse, she found herself questioning. Sure, omens seemed like nonsense, but she'd assumed the Voidbringers were only stories and they'd returned. Her mother had always laughed at the idea of lost radiance wandering the storms as spirits, but now she had two radiants on her ship. Who was Rissen to say what was fact and what was myth? No, she thought. There must be another explanation. Could someone have planted this? She'd been expecting a third omen like the grain or the dead pet. Something a person could achieve in secret. But this went far beyond such simple plots. Did she really think someone hiding among her crew had managed to find a near-mythical creature, kill it, and deposit it in the ocean without raising suspicion? No one has to have planted it, she told herself firmly. This could still be a random, unlucky event. She glanced down again and swore that oversized eye was looking at her, seeing right through her, even in death. As decaying chunks of the Santhid began to float off from the main body, she felt as if she were being watched, and she became suddenly aware of the crowding sailor's mood. Dark, too quiet, no mentions of what a bad omen this was. They already knew. There was nothing more to say.
We'll be turning back after this, said Alstben, a tall sailor who liked to spike his eyebrows. He looked at Rissen. No way we continue.
Storms. It wasn't a question. Rissen searched for support from the captain, but Durlwan folded her arms and didn't contradict the sailor. Doing so would likely invite mutiny. This crew was probably too loyal to do such a thing as kill their captain, but, well, if the Wandersail returned to dock with its captain, armsman, and owner locked up because they'd gone mad, who would blame the crew? Particularly after an omen as sure as a dead Santhid. Rissen nearly gave the order. She knew when a trade deal was mired in Krem, when it was better to walk away with your goods than try to force an accommodation. And yet, that meant giving in to the superstitions, and someone was trying to spook her crew, even if this specific event was random. Turning back meant giving in to whoever that was. Most importantly, turning back meant giving up on helping Chiri Chiri. Sometimes the trade was too important to walk away from. Sometimes you had to negotiate from a position of weakness.
"Why is it floating?" Rissen asked the sailors. "Shouldn't it have sunk after it died?"
"Not necessarily," Kostled said, emerging from the rear of the crowd. "I've passed a ship lost to ramming before. Days later, bloated corpses still floated in the water, nibbled at from below by fish."
"But something this big?" Rissen asked. "With that shell?"
"Great shell corpses can float," another sailor said. "Pieces of them, after they're dead. I've seen it."
Damnation. Rissen didn't know enough to keep pushing on this line of reasoning. Yet it seemed so unlikely that they had randomly run across this right in their path. Maybe there was another option. Maybe it wasn't one person working to undermine her mission, but a larger organization. The enemy had fused, creatures with powers like radiance. This could be a light weaving, or a soul cast dummy, or any number of things. She didn't want to give up. Not without more time to think, and maybe a chance to inspect this corpse. So she took a deep breath. Sometimes, a negotiation was all about attitude.
"Very well," she said. "Let us do what is right, then. Get the boarding hooks and get ready to tow that corpse."
"Tow it?" one of the sailors asked. "Surely we're not going to try to profit by selling the shell?"
"Of course not," Rissen said. "What kind of craven do you think I am? We're going to give the creature a proper funeral, and if it seems the beast's will, we will keep the shell for the luck it represents and present it to the queen. It is fortunate we happened along, so the body might be burned as befits the creature's majesty."
"Fortunate?" Kostled asked.
"Yes," Rissen said. She had trained herself not to feel intimidated when seated among a crowd of standing people, but it was difficult not to feel her old insecurities, as so many of them turned to stare down at her, skeptical, even angry.
"Attitude," she reminded herself. "You will never sell anything if you don't believe it's worth the asking price."
"Someone killed this poor thing," Rissen continued. "Look at those gouges on the side of the corpse."
"Bad luck," a sailor said. "Extremely bad luck to kill a Santhid."
"Which we did not do," Rissen said. "Someone else did, and incurred the bad luck. We are lucky to have found the creature so we can witness what was done to it, and see the body cared for."
"We shouldn't touch a Santhid corpse," said Kostled, folding his arms.
"I've seen their shells hung proudly in Thalen City," Rissen said. "There's one at the Naval Academy."
"Those weren't killed by malice," Kostled said. "Besides, they washed up on the shore, found their way there."
"Like this one," Rissen said. "Made its way to us. Here. How vast is the ocean? And yet we happen across this relatively small body. The Santhid's soul undoubtedly led us here so we could witness and care for the corpse." She pondered, as if thinking of it for the first time.
"This is a good omen. It came to us intentionally, a sign that we are trusted."
She hid the uncertainty she felt, knowing her argument was full of holes and sinking fast. She decried superstition, but now she relied upon it to make this argument? Nevertheless, it seemed to work. A few sailors nodded. That was the thing about omens. They were made up, imagined signals of something nebulous, so why not make them up to be something positive?
"We always consider it a good sign when one washes up on shore," a man said. "Why is this different?"
"We need to spread the word," said another, "about how someone out there is killing Santhidin. It wanted us to find it so that the news could spread.
Let's hook the corpse, Rissen repeated, and carry it to shore.
No, several voices said from the crowd, but she couldn't see who. That's bad luck.
If it's bad luck, Rissen said, her voice louder, then we've already invited it by letting our hull touch the corpse. I say the best thing to do now is care for the body. We will burn the body and leave the shell on a nearby island. We will purchase some floats at a port on our way home and then tow it to Thalen City. That's what the Santhid would want, for us to keep the shell as a mark of the respect it showed us.
The crew fell silent. Rissen had taken part in her fair share of tense negotiations, but this one made her hold her breath, her heart thundering, like she was trying to contain a storm inside her.
I think, the captain said eventually, that I do see a good omen in this. I've always wanted to meet a Santhid in the wild. I have burned prayers that one would someday come to me. This creature's soul must have known that.
Yeah, another sailor said. Notice how it doesn't stink? It should smell, rotting like that. I don't see a single rot spren. Good omen, that. It wants us to come near.
Grab the hooks, the captain said. If its spirit is restless, I certainly wouldn't want it thinking we ignored its last wishes.
The sailors, blessedly, responded to her order. Rissen had given them an escape from their ill luck, and the captain had certified it. That was enough. Some went for the boarding hooks, which had ropes attached for use in holding the wandersail to enemy ships. Others returned to their posts to help keep the ship from drifting too far from the corpse. The captain remained standing beside Rissen's chair, tall, proud, in control. Rissen had learned to hold herself in a similar way, but she couldn't help being jealous of the ability to simply stand there. Exuding control and confidence was so much easier when you weren't several feet shorter than everyone.
Thank you, Rissen said to her.
We have a charge from the Queen to see this mission to its end, the captain said. I'd turn around now if I worried about losing my ship, but I won't do so on a whim.
Do you truly believe what I said about this being a good omen?
I believe that passionate people make their own luck, the captain said,
which wasn't exactly an answer. The passions, as a religion, believed that wanting something changed fate to bring it to you. Among many Thalens, superstition and confidence interwove like threads in a rope.
Thank you, either way, Rissen said.
For now, I trust your confidence to move forward, Rebsk, Captain Durlwan said, as sailors returned with hooks. Take care. This crew is precious to me. I will not waste their lives if this mission turns ugly.
If it turns out these omens are accurate, she left unsaid. Rissen nodded and sat back, troubled, watching the sailors cast the lines to hook the Santhid body. If they couldn't get a purchase, someone would have to climb down and... Sailors screamed, backing away, dropping the ropes as if they'd suddenly burst aflame. Rissen started, then pulled herself up on the railing to look down. Was the Santhid alive? It was moving, more undulating, quivering, disintegrating. Before her eyes, the Santhid broke apart into hundreds of scuttling pieces. Kremlings, crustaceans the length of a person's thumb, swarmed in the water. Rissen struggled to grasp what she was seeing. Had the hooks disturbed creatures that had been eating the dead Santhid? But there were so many, and the entire beast was breaking apart, including the shell. Storms. It was as if the body had been made up of kremlings, or sealings, as the ones in the ocean were sometimes called. the water churned and frothed, and in moments, nothing was left of the Xanthid. Even the eyeball she'd felt watching her earlier had broken into multiple pieces, exposing legs and shells on the underside, before swimming away into the deep.